the eastern part of the state, that he gave the report for us, and he said that Narcotics Anonymous was dead in Philadelphia. Now, believe me, there were people who believed that Narcotics Anonymous was founded in Philadelphia. So we went out with, Dutchie and I went out with what we called the Philadelphia Plan, which was developed by the Philadelphia region, which was an effort to decentralize the world, but basically it was a strategy to get the World Service Office in Philadelphia. And I must say that I don't think it was a bad idea. but they didn't go for it. But I should point out that it drew their attention to us. And they bought our rap. And that was that you have overlooked the fact that on the East Coast, that Narcotics Anonymous started just like you, small, with a group of dedicated loonies who kept it together and then put it together and are now showing up to give that contribution to the rest of the Narcotics Anonymous community. Philadelphia is very, very special. And I think that we really should know that. And I think that we can be a trendsetter and we can be leaders in a lot of things for the fellowship. And to my knowledge, that no other area, no other region is doing anything like this. And I think that we're going to show the way to the rest of the fellowship on how to reclaim its own history. Thanks a lot. I'm going to overtime, but you know, thank you.
I'm an addict. My name's Jackie. Hi, family. I'm real humble because Daniel asked me outside to come in here and talk about NA history. I said, I don't know anything about NA history. And he was I was right. I truly don't. And because my ego told me that NA history didn't start till I came into the rooms for some reason. And I've only been around these rooms since 1985, so now I found out that there's a whole lot going on before then. What I am going to share about, though, he asked me to, is to share about some history about our area. I'm from Philadelphia, originally where I came into the rooms, and I left here to go to a rehab in a town called Coatesville, Pennsylvania. And when I left out of this rehab, there was one NA meeting in this whole town. There was 6 recovering people. One of them was from Coatesville. The rest were displaced Philadelphians who had also gone through this rehab that I had been through. And our meeting place was in a community center that leaked. There was no heat in the wintertime. We got locked out at meetings like New Year's Eve and stuff when they had other functions going on. And we would still kind of gather outside the place and wait for everybody that we knew that would usually show up at this meeting to tell them where we were going for the rest of the night, whatever other functions were going on. And I was thinking that when John was talking about no founders, like thousands of founders and the personalities, because the personalities in this one Narcotics Anonymous group in this town were like wild. I mean, money was missing half the time. From one week to another, we didn't know who our secretary or treasurer or GSR was. We were part of Tri-County area, which meant somebody might have to drive an hour and a half to get to a meeting, which means most of the time we weren't represented for real, you know, because nobody really felt like going that far once a month and sitting there arguing with all these people that we didn't know, and we didn't think they really wanted us there anyway. And at like about 6 months, because of the small group, I got involved right immediately, like in service, because my ego told me that I really knew I could do this better than them anyway, even though I was just coming around. And at 6 months, I was GSR, and I had to go to my first area service meeting. I was like, you've got to be joking. I mean, I'll end up throwing a chair at somebody in here or cursing somebody out. This is circus is right. This is insane. I don't think I want to be part of this. I had too bad of a temper. My anger, I had no control of it at all, and I didn't really feel a part of it. But I still kept going once a month to these meetings. And in the meantime, what I saw happening to our group was that a lot more people from the town of Coatesville started coming to meetings. Coatesville is a town full of dope fiends, full of drug addicts, okay? And when I left this rehab, I forgot to mention this originally. I stayed at a shelter, And in this shelter is where our meetings are now located. We now have like a place that doesn't leak and there's heat, and we have a regular place, a room that is just ours. And you know, we can have meetings, but they had an AA meeting there, and it was one AA meeting or two groups or something in the town at the time. I didn't have a car. Anybody that's familiar with Coatesville, there's like one bus or something that runs till 6 o'clock, no cabs after 9 o'clock, and my ego also didn't allow me to call people up to go to meetings, so I went to these meetings. And I immediately became aware of the fact that I didn't belong. Fortunately for me, the AA community there was just about as displaced as we were, so they didn't care what we identified ourselves at, yeah, as long as we were there and we participated. They didn't give a hell, you know, damn what we were. And I'm kind of grateful for that, because when I left Philadelphia, I had been to one AA meeting while I was going to Narcotics Anonymous. And I can remember walking in, and this man was giving out these chips, and he said, "These are for alcoholics only." And I immediately felt rejected and crushed. And didn't he know I had 60 days, and I wanted whatever it was they were giving away, and know I had a keychain. And I immediately had this resentment, and I didn't want to belong if they didn't want me. Fortunately, this little AA community kind of like accept anybody that walked through the door. And they didn't tell us we needed to go to Narcotics Anonymous. They didn't care what we shared, you know. But still, I always felt this is where I belong. NA is where I belong. And right now, I'm going to make this real short because I can make it real short. Right now, we have two groups. We have three meetings. We even have a step in tradition meeting. On Wednesday night, we have 65 to 70 people show up at our meeting. And we have GSRs that go regularly. We have people who fight to be GSRs now, who go regularly to area service meetings. We formed our own, we've kind of broken away from Tri-County area, and we now belong to an area called Clean Acres area of Narcotics Anonymous. And our need for that was a lot to do with our H&I commitments. They were spread out all over geographically, because geographically we're really spread out, and we saw a need because commitments weren't being taken care of seriously, and we decided to form a new area. And our area is like really growing. We have put Coatesville on the NA map because we have dances regularly that are huge successes. And see, I always thought history meant like before me. Excuse me. Now I know that history like is ongoing all the time. And like we're making history now, today. So like I just needed to share about our little community, part of Narcotics Anonymous in Chester County called Clean Acres area, because we have like a lot of good recovery out there. And I'm real humble every time I come to a convention because, see, like in our area, the person that's got the most time has got like 3 years, you know. And I hear people like as soon as they get a year, like we know it all and stuff. And, you know, we have people now in our area, in our groups, who actually want to learn more about Narcotics Anonymous. They don't just assume that they know it all. And they go places and they learn about traditions and they learn about steps. And bring it back to our area for newcomers, because we constantly have more newcomers coming in all the time. We're like we have a lot of rehabs around our area and halfway houses. We have a lot of newcomers that decide to stay there, or we're their first kind of like insight into NA that they carry wherever they go back home. And our area is really growing, and we're like, that's history for us, maybe 4 years old, something like that. But we're part of something bigger. And every time, last year I came here, there was a lot of folks there. I've already seen like about 30 people just from our area here tonight. And that really like grabs me, because then I know like I'm really home and there's people here. That's all I ever wanted to do, was be part of something anyway. And thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, I'm an addict. My name's Gary. I hated history. You know, all through school, I hated history. But Narcotics Anonymous, I'm part of. And it sparks a flame in me that I don't hate it. You know, I love it. I remember in 1979, it was the first time I got in touch with a 12-step program. And it wasn't Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it was that other group. I got in touch with AA, and they told me to make a 90 and 90, and someone else put me in touch with NA, and there was like three meetings or something within my area, and I wasn't allowed to drive at the time. My license was revoked, and I was on probation, and if I was caught driving, I would have went back to jail, and I wasn't going there. So I went to these AA meetings, and I went to a few NA meetings. I never felt really part of. You know, there was something inside it. It just wasn't right, you know. I went up for my chips in AA, and I didn't stay around. I went out, and I beat myself up a few more years. And I came back, and it was, I don't know, 82. I came back, and Narcotics Anonymous had grown. And I still was told to make a 90 and 90, and I didn't know if there was enough meetings around to make a 90 and 90, because I knew when I left, there wasn't, you know? And so I still stayed involved with AA and NA, and the battle was constant, you know? I got AA chips and I got NA keychains, you know, and I used to say I'm going to this other meeting because they have more time, so they have more knowledge. And I was real confused, you know. Today it's a good feeling that I have one fellowship in my life. I'm an addict, a dead out addict, you know, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's anything within my life, I'm an addict. And alcohol is the oldest known drug to man. You know? But it's a good feeling to know I'm part of just one. You know, I'm not confused no more. Narcotics Anonymous is what really saved my ass. Because in those rooms is what I heard I related to. You know, and they reached their hand out to me, you know. And I got to say something about Danny because it's bothering me that I haven't. And I seen Danny like putting all this stuff together, and I kept calling him an addict, and he's crazy, he's nuts. He wanted to go through my mother's house and rip it up and look for NA literature, and I told him no. You know, I mean, like, and I kept, like, putting him down, you know, but when I look back there and I look in that case, you know, like, I really believe God worked through him and other people that helped him. And I'm really proud of you for putting that together, you know. Definitely did some of God's work. My history in NA, for myself, when I first came around, was my touch with NA was at someone's house. So these two people, John and Debbie, and we used to go to their house and play cards all night. And they're still around, you know. And a few of those people are still around, and a lot of them aren't, because the structure, the steps. I mean, we didn't write out steps back then, you know. We knew nothing about that. Today, I started writing out my steps. I got an NA sponsor, you know, and for me, that's what's working in my life. I'm real comfortable with that. I'm not confused no more. I'm at ease with myself. I'm not better yet, but I definitely feel at ease, and I don't feel the confusion. I don't feel the battle in my head. It's good to be just part of one, you know, for myself. That's all I got. Thanks.
My name is William. I'm an addict. And I'm not from Philadelphia. I'm from Detroit. And I'm really impressed by this. I really am. You know, I like history. And I've only been in the fellowship for 14 months. And I listened to some of their people who have been in the fellowship for 5 years, because NA did not come to the inner city of Detroit just 5 years ago, really. You know, and I listened to some of the things that they had to go through and the closeness that they had to have to stick together, because it wasn't but about maybe 8 or 9 or 10 addicts, and they all had to pile into cars and go to a meetings in outer areas of Detroit, you know. And they talk about those struggles and the fact that there were no meetings in Detroit, and today a lot of them come around and we have about 90 meetings, you know. And they talk about the kinds of drugs that brought them in, and obviously that has changed over their years. And there just aren't any 20-year addicts anymore in Detroit, you know. Well, they are coming back, but their fellowship is getting a lot younger in Detroit, you know. And I'm amazed, you know, and this has really amazed me, and it has made me want to get more involved in the fellowship, to learn more about, you know, the history of NA, and to keep better track of it, of how we have grown, you know, in the city, you know. And I'm grateful to be here. Thanks a lot.
My name is Bill Davis, recovering addict. You know, and it really makes me feel good, and I'm always curious about things starting, because I can remember, you know, when I first, you know, picked up drugs, you know, and I was like the only addict in my family, and I, you know, went back into my roots way before Alex Haley came out with this book called Roots, because I wanted to know why I was the only one in the family an addict, and everybody else wasn't, you know. And it was like amazing, because none of my family, my grandfather, none of them was, and I used to always wonder why I fell in love with this drug, you know, and nobody else did, and nobody in my family could understand neither, because nobody had no experience with drug addiction in my family. So when I did all these crazy and bizarre things, it was like totally in confusion. You know, they was used to alcohol, but they wasn't used to no kind of drug addict in the family. And, you know, and I would go back and I would talk to my family members, and my uncle who just passed, we buried him sad, and was 87. I used to go to him, you know, and ask him, you know, about my great-grandfathers and his father, you know. And he would explain things to me, and that never just stopped me from using, because I would, you know, try to analyze, you know, the situation and still utilize it. And that's what I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, because I learned how to utilize, you know, the tools they gave me and still analyze, you know, why, you know, I did what I did. And, you know, and I look back, you know, and I remember buying, you know, the tape last year at the convention, more so on, you know, the history, you know. And I remember I had a sponsor, you know, because I've been around a little while, and I'm one of the fortunate ones, because once I came in, I never went back out, because I didn't have to go out and test the waters. I learned from other people's mistakes, and I'm grateful for that. And that was no doing of mine. That was God, as I understand him. But I had a sponsor, you know, and he got cleaned by a bunch of guys called the Young Men's from Kensington. And back then, they was, you know, cold-blooded, crazy addicts. You know, they would tie you up in a chair and keep you there. And you know one thing, you stayed there 3 or 4 days and you ain't come out. They allowed you to carry no money. They took all your money. If you was getting a check, they took that, and they rationed your cigarettes to you. And, you know, a lot of other things. Amazing enough, my sponsor, he's still clean today, you know, and that's what he told me it took for him. You know, a lot of other people didn't get clean, you know, that way, but for him, it worked, you know, and he haven't used it, and I'm quite sure it's about 13, 14 years now. And I remember him telling me, you know, the stories, you know, and I was one of, you know, the other, you know, individuals too who got clean, you know, through the other 12-step fellowship. And when I came around, I think it was about 2 meetings in the city. You know, and they had more so Eaglesville. They didn't even have then down there on Pine Street. That wasn't even in existence then. I think it was one around Oxford Circle somewhere. And, you know, I had to go into the other fellowship, and it wasn't no problem, because I remember, you know, going in there, because I was an heroin addict. You know, I went in there and I said I'm cross-addicted, you know, dual-addicted. I had a double bubble. And I guess I was so boisterous, They never told me to stop using it, you know, and they never, you know, told me that I couldn't say these words or say this. And I stood up to my drug addiction for years, you know, in that other fellowship. And nobody never told me, you know, that this was, you know, just for alcohol. And I'm grateful for that, you know, because I don't know what I would have did then. I don't know, because my feelings are easy to get hurt once I took the drugs out of my system, you know. And I guess they understood that. And I guess they had pity. And they didn't fear me as much as they feared, you know, the oncoming, you know, addicts of the day, because I was just one then. And they let me say whatever I wanted to say, you know, and I stayed clean, you know, for quite a few years in that other fellowship. But, you know, as things went on, I remember, you know, by working in the field, I started seeing more addicts, you know, coming in, and they were drifting in with another, you know, drug of choice. And things started growing tremendously, and I seen them coming to this other fellowship, and that's when I started seeing, you know, people in the other fellowship was, I don't know whether they were scared or they respect me, but they never approached me with not saying certain things, but they started approaching the newcomers and told them that this is for alcohol, you know, and if you got any other problems, I suggest that you go somewhere else. But I started getting resentment behind them, and I would approach them, you know, and it was a lot of groups that I had been involved with in starting, and, you know, a lot of controversy came about then, and I guess God in his wisdom seen fit that it was time for me to move on. You know, and I'm grateful for them people in the other fellowship, because they told me that I didn't belong here, and they kicked me out. And they said it was time for you to go somewhere where you actually belong. You know, and when I walked into the first NA meeting, and that was, you know, I call them, you know, some rebels, because they had the same cause as we did, but their ideas was different, you know, and that was South Philly group. And I seen the kindness and warmness that these people had in there. I knew I belonged there. You know, I really knew I belonged, you know. And it was amazing, you know, because when I walked into that room, and there was a bunch of people in that room, and it was pretty big, I knew I was, you know, belonged there, and I was with another party. And I remember, you know, going. I remember, you know, years ago taking my wife, you know, to NA meetings and dropping her off and keep, you know, getting up. And she was smoking joints then at that time, you know, and I had stopped then, you know, a few meetings. And I don't know whether I felt uncomfortable, but I was more so comfortable with where I was at. And I remember, you know, they say, you know, the newcomer is the most important person. And that's what I was carrying to this meeting that I went for the first time that I really felt comfortable with, was the newcomer. And I fell in love, you know, with the fellowship automatically, you know. And today I'm a diehard addict, you know. I'm a true, you know, true believer in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I go to one fellowship today, and that's, you know, this fellowship, because it has everything I need. I don't have to be confused no more, you know, and I'm grateful for that, you know. I'm grateful for finding that, because I remember it took a while, because I hear people, you know, they saying, you know, that, you know, they go to fellowships and they confused with this and they searching this, but I really had a turmoil, you know, to let go. And a few months ain't no turmoil. I had years of turmoil to separate, but, you know, I never travel out of the city that much, and I look at that, and I'm grateful, because a guy, I told somebody, when they ever go to conventions and world conventions, I always say, bring me a message back. That's all where I all ask for, is just a message. And they brought a message back that was really important for me, you know. And they said, you know, the people in the other fellowship, look at the old timers. You never seen them at an NA meeting. They stays in their fellowship. They don't go from meeting to meeting. And, you know, when they brought that message back to me, you know, and they say, you know, and I thought about that. And I never seen nobody in the other fellowship coming to these meetings. I see newcomers running back and forth, but the old timers never come to the NA meetings. They stay in their own fellowship and help the newcomers in that fellowship there. And I thought about that, and I knew then that I had to stay here. It was no longer for me to travel, no other fellowship but this fellowship, and it was more so for the newcomer. And I was grateful for that, you know, individual bringing that message back to me. From then I had, you know, I had no confusion within myself. I look, you know, at the first meeting, you know, and I look at NA starting in July of 1953, you know, and I wondered, because, you know, it never hit my community, and I was from North Philly, it never hit the black community in 1984. I never got, you know, into North Philly until 1984. And, you know, and I'm grateful, because I guess we wasn't ready for it then. And it didn't come until, you know, North Philly until 84. And I'm grateful to God for, you know, allowing me to be one of the spearheads of getting off of the ground. Even though it didn't come into North Philly, you know, as a 1984 black community, it was whites that helped bring it in there, you know, and that's what I'm grateful for, too. Because it wasn't blacks that started the meeting. It was black and white that started that meeting, you know, and that's what I'm grateful for, because this is what this fellowship is about. You know, it's about helping one another, you know, and the bottom line is staying clean, you know. And we started that first meeting, and I've seen an individual in here, you know, tonight, who was one of the spearheads in starting that group together, and we love. And I seen him, you know, a little while back, and he had 5 years under his belt and went out. But I didn't look at the time he went out. I was so happy to see him, you know, when I saw him. I grabbed and hugged him and everything, and he was feeling bad because he was going into detox, you know. And he said, "Phil, man, I'm feeling so bad." And he told me tonight, you know, he said, "You know, you didn't even look at me having a relapse. You just looked at me being glad." And that's what I was. I was more so glad to see him that he wasn't dead. You know, he was more so still alive. And when you're still alive, you got to change. And that's what I'm grateful for, you know. But we started that meeting. And once that meeting started off, it was just like, you know, God's will being done. Everything started growing tremendously fast. I can see why today that the other fellowship was afraid of us. Because if we had came in with the amount of people tonight, it would be a massive confusion in that other fellowship. When you look at that convention tomorrow night, you know, and Saturday night at that banquet, I guess they would be so confused and mad, you know, we would be fighting over drug addicts, you know, addicts and alcoholics, fighting in them rooms day in and day out. So God in his wisdom started making meetings start growing in N.A. I guess he said it's time for N.A. to grow in Philadelphia like it's never grew before. And that's what came about. It started growing, you know, and I'm grateful for that because meetings start clearing up. And just like, you know, people start saying we got more than one area now, you know, and there's a need for more than one area, you know. There's a need for more than one group in the area, you know, and we have tremendous amount of groups, you know, in our area. Each area has a good amount, but our primary purpose is always the same, you know, is to help that newcomer, you know. Philadelphia is growing tremendously now. You know, and I'm grateful, you know. I think we're growing at a pace that we can't keep up with, you know. And that's, you know, I don't know whether it's good or bad because we make a lot of mistakes when we know we can't keep up with the paces. And a lot of times we have to slow down, you know, to see some of the things that we have done, you know. And that's why, you know, I'm grateful, you know, to this fellowship here. I'm grateful for, the pioneers who stuck with it, you know what I mean. Because it's hard to stick with something when it's just one or two people making meetings. And that's the way it was when we started getting them groups together. It was no more than a dozen of us. You know, no more than three and four. And we was making them meetings. And I remember we was taking the money, paying the rent out of our own pockets, and there'd be six of us. And people was complaining that it wasn't no day meetings. So we started day meetings for the people who worked at night. You know, and people started complaining that, you know, it wasn't midnight meetings. And I started saying midnight meetings, day meetings, night meetings. We tried to do everything we could to keep people, and we started doing things for a selfish reason. We tried to do everything we could to keep people from going to the other fellowship. That's what it was basically about. To keep people from going to the other fellowship, we said, let's start meetings in the daytime. Let's start meetings at nighttime. Let's start meetings anytime. So they had no excuse, no excuse to go to the other fellowship. And they say we do things for, you know, self-centered reasons, and that's what our reasons was in the beginning. And good enough, they paid off. Now a person can make 90 meetings in 90 days without going to another fellowship because there's no excuse, you know. And I heard that individual, you know, talk, you know, because it was a time that it was impossible to make 90 meetings in 90 days in Philadelphia without going to the other fellowship. But that's a lie today, you know, and that's a big lie because I know it's a lie because I have made 90 meetings in 90 days in this fellowship here, you know, and that's why, you know, I know this fellowship here works, you know. History goes on, you know, and I guess as time goes on, it'll be more, you know, added on here. And I look back there, too, and it's beautiful, you know, and it's good to learn, you know. It's good to learn, you know, my roots and our roots of what this fellowship here is all about, you know. We're coming in here tremendously fast, you know, but that's okay. And they say a lot of people going out and the faces are changing, you know, twice as fast as the people, you know, come in here. But I don't look at that. I just look at, you know, the faces that stay. And there's a lot of faces that staying, you know, and giving this history. You know, I wasn't going to get up here, you know, and share, you know, because I know I have a commitment tomorrow. and I've been worrying myself to death. But you know, once I look and see the history of this fellowship here and see what goes on in this fellowship here, you know, I just can't help but, you know, trying to share some of my experiences, strength, and hope, because I really love Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I love, you know, the beginning of it, you know, and I love what's going on today, and I know it's going to be an ongoing thing, you know, and I'm grateful, and thanks a lot.
I want to thank everybody for coming and participating in the history of Narcotics Anonymous. And if you people participate between now and next year, you'll save me a lot of work. And I'll tell you what, if I have to do this for myself to continue this going on, I will. And, okay. You want to keep going? You want to? Did you? Well, I'm going to finish anyway. What I want to say is, if we get like representatives of each area, you know, who cares about the fellowship and the history, and compiles it together through our areas, and maybe have a region chair or something, it'll make it a lot easier. And then, you know, 10 years from now, we can look back and see what we did today, and we can listen to tapes like this. And Gary was right, like. Some of my ego and pride got into this, but the ultimate thing was that I did this through God. And believe me, it was far from just me, you know. It was all the addicts, you know.